FCBC, located at 120 21 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295 in the Mandarin community. Bible study at 9:30, worship at 10:30. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Thank you so much again for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Our mics are open. Our telephone lines are open. 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We're talking about Thanksgiving. What better season to talk about Thanksgiving than Thanksgiving?
Amen. So Amen.
I am thankful to have Dr. Davis with me. We're celebrating Thanksgiving together, saying thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. We're talking about an issue today, wishing you a blessed Thanksgiving. Dr. Davis, anytime I think about Thanksgiving, every year when we celebrate Thanksgiving, my mind goes back to the first Thanksgiving, the first Thanksgiving. I'm looking at an article that talks about that entitled The First Thanksgiving in America. I'm going to read the first paragraph. When the pilgrims sailed on the Mayflower and landed in America in the fall of 1620, they faced many challenges. The winter climate was harsh. Many suffered sickness, disease, and death. Food and shelter were hard to obtain, especially in their weak condition. The pilgrims experienced hunger, starvation during this time, which they called the starving time. In the harsh environment, half the pilgrims died during the first winter of their arrival. Now, with that being the setting, Dr. Davis, where, as I understand it in reading all of the history of that era, over half of the pilgrims that came off the Mayflower that first winter died because of privation, starvation, and harsh winter, freezing to death. And yet they celebrated Thanksgiving. Now, I say that because in America, we're the land of the plenty. And the mindset is, somehow, some way, that has trickled down and devolved into the condition in America, that if I don't have much, if I don't have 2 cars in the garage, if I don't have the finest home, if I don't have the finest clothes, if I don't have the finest education, then what is there for me to be thankful for? And if we reflect back on the pilgrims and their thankfulness, thanksgiving to God, even though death, privation, starvation, and desperation was the order of the day.
Amen.
I find it antithetical to what generally is felt in America, where the mindset is, unless I have it all, I don't need to celebrate Thanksgiving.
Well, you know, Dr. Youngblood, I call that being ungrateful.
Yes, absolutely.
Because thinking about that story that you just read, they found a way to make good out of a bad situation.
Absolutely.
You know, everything might not go exactly like we want it to go all the time.
That's right.
But if we examine the situation closely, there's always some good that can come out of that, because we're supposed to be able to learn.
Absolutely.
From situations. Now, like the psalmist David said, he said, it was good for me that I was afflicted, that I may see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
That's right.
David thought about the many things that he went through, even sickness, even the loss of a child. Remember,
right.
David wept many days because that child died and he wouldn't eat.
Mm-hmm.
But after the death of the child, David thought about that thing, and he said, the child can't come back to me. I must go to him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we got to do. We got to understand, in times like these, we can always go to God.
That's right.
And God has the answer. He has the provisions. He has everything that we need, so that in spite of your situation, there's always someone else that's in an even worse situation.
That's right. Absolutely.
So find some kind of way to bring some good, make some good out of your bad situation, whatever that might be.
Mm-hmm.
You might not have a turkey on the table today.
That's right.
But find a way to make some good out of that situation.
Yes.
You can still look up and tell God thank you. If you don't have but a piece of bacon and a biscuit.
That's right. That's good enough.
You can say thank you, because that's country boy eating.
That's right. Absolutely.
Amen. I'm a country boy.
Absolutely.
I like eating that way.
Absolutely.
Amen. And I just got through telling Brother Tom, thank you for that honey. He told me that honey came from his mother's house. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? All these great things. When we look at it, you know, when we grew up, if we live next door to you and your mom and dad had a field planting mm-hmm. corn and crops, and if my dad and mom had chicken, cows, and hogs and different things like that, we shared.
Oh, absolutely. That was the name of the game.
There were times that mm-hmm. when a slaughter would take place, mm-hmm. even in my neighborhood, people would bring meat to the house or corn and vegetables to the house. And because my daddy was a commercial fisherman on a shrimp boat,
mm-hmm.
everybody came to my house for seafood.
I got it.
And mama was such a good cook. Like I said, the cakes and the pies and, oh, man, all the great stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get hungry before the broadcast.
You're making me hungry now.
But praise God, there was always a way that in spite of the economy, you know, mm-hmm. things might have been bad back in that time. People wasn't making a lot of money, but what they had, they made the best out of that situation.
Yes.
So that's where I'm going, and this is what I want to do. I want to project that thought in your mind today. You may not have it all going just right,
mm-hmm.
but find a way to make some good out of a bad situation.
Amen. And the way that's done, and you touched on that, the further follow-up of that first Thanksgiving would be the second Thanksgiving, 1621. And I believe, and this is not in writing any place, but I believe as a result of the pilgrims thanking God, even in privation, desperation, and the situation that they were going through in that first Thanksgiving, that first season after they landed, came off the Mayflower. Let me read to you the balance of the story. The pilgrims held a public day of thanksgiving for his God's provision and blessing. Pilgrims William Bradford and Edward Winslow described this day in their journal as one in which they returned glory, honor, and praise with all thanksgiving to a good God who deals so graciously with us, end quote. In the fall of 1621, the pilgrims celebrated their abundance of autumn harvest and fowls with feast and invited their native friends to join them in celebration. Instead of famine, they had plenty, recounts Bradford, and the face of things was changed to joy of our hearts. Nor has there been any general want or lack of food among us ever since that day. The pilgrims overcame famine, and the Plymouth colony survived. I made a footnote on this article. I believe that as a result of their being thankful when there was privation and desperation and death, God increased their blessing for Thanksgiving.
Look at God.
And I believe that's what God is saying to us. If we can, ladies and gentlemen, if we can just say, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. I wake up of a morning, as I step off the side of the bed, I say, thank you, Lord, for waking me up.
Amen.
I'm thankful each and every day. And Dr. Davis, I believe we're living in a nation of ingratitude.
Amen. Amen.
I think of the text in Luke's gospel where the 10 leprous men, and leprosy in that day was a sure sign of death. There was no cure for it. They had the leprous colonies that had to stay outside the camp, and they had to cover their faces. Anybody who would come near or approaching, they'd have to scream, unclean, unclean, putting their hands out to stop so that they would not come in contact with another human being. But those 10 men saw Jesus. They ran to Jesus, begging him, beseeching him, the King James says, to heal them. Jesus healed all 10 of them. And I'm sure All 10 of them had a rationale and a reason. 9 of them took off from the healing. I'm sure going back to families. I'm sure going back to friends. I'm sure going back to their homes and villages and saying, look at me, I'm cleansed. Look at me, I'm healed. Only one of the 10, that's a tithe.
Amen.
That's a 10.
Amen. Amen.
Only one came back, fell at the feet of Jesus, and said, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for healing me. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the good illustration of what we see in America today. I believe that we have about a 10%, about a tithe of people that really are thankful. And the lines are open. The telephone number is 904-831-0917. Want to hear from you. What are you thankful for as we celebrate Thanksgiving? Why are you thankful? How do you celebrate Thanksgiving? What do you say? Are you thankful just to have plenty? Are you thankful to have money in your pocket? Are you thankful that your bills are paid? Or is there something else that we should have as priority of our Thanksgiving? I'm thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful for the Scripture. I'm thankful for the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save me. I'm thankful that His shed blood on Calvary's cross was efficacious for me because I've said yes to Him as Savior and as Lord.
Amen.
His death on the cross was beneficial for all the whole world, but it wasn't efficacious, that is effective, other than to those that say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord.
Amen.
So I'm thankful for the Word. I'm thankful for the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that if we could get down to the rudimentary, fundamental elementals of what Thanksgiving ought to be like, it could make a tectonic difference in the United States of America and where we stand at this day and time in history.
Amen.
I believe we have Harper on the phone. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, every time I say, thank you, Lord, I recognize the divine government that God has. There's 12 letters in that, and that's divine government. And there's three words. I thank you, Lord. Three is the resurrection and the Trinity. You put those together, that's 15, and He gives us rest. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Well, I am thankful, and I know that you are. I'm thankful today that real rest is only found in the Lord Jesus. Real peace, you look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, 6, and 7, and it talks about, with everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request be made known unto the Lord. And the next verse says, and the peace that passes all understanding shall encapture you, shall insulate you, shall encircle you, shall keep, K-E-E-P. That means to encircle, to protect. It is the peace of God that I believe God gives us as we're willing to say, thank you, thank you, thank you. And so I wish you and your dear family a blessed Thanksgiving. Thank you so much for your call today.
Thank
Dr. Davis,
you.
What say you? Thank you so much. God bless you.
Well,
what say you?
I'm so very grateful, Dr. Youngblood, because, again, we can think of many things. But as you began to talk about the finished work out on Calvary's cross and how Jesus died, I'm thankful that God didn't let Him stay there.
That's right.
Because Scripture lets us know that He got up on the third day morning with all power in His hand. And this is the reason why we are here right now. We're here because Jesus got up.
Amen.
If He had stayed there, we'd have been defeated. But I thank God that when I go back to 1 Corinthians 15, mm-hmm. around 57, 58, down in those last verses, it tells us that the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But He came down and said, but thank God that we have the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, so therefore, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work Amen. Of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So we got a reason. Always, when we go back to Scripture, and let me just read this little brief that I did on the backdrop of what Scripture said, the reason why we should give thanks. It says the Old Testament Scripture speaks as a reminder that we should give thanks to God for many things in our lives, but most specifically for the fact that He has compassion on us and has forgiven us of our sins if we repent and trust in His salvation plan. That's what the whole thing is all about.
Amen.
The plan of salvation was for Jesus to come and die on the cross for our sins, that we could live by His righteousness. And now, since He got up, like God promised that He would, when we die, we can also get up in the likeness of his resurrection.
Amen.
And I'm looking forward to that day.
That's the promise we find. In fact,
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians 15, about verse 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, it's the right page, left column in my Bible.
Amen.
We have that absolute assurance.
Amen.
I am thankful for that.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I'm looking at the 1789 Thanksgiving Proclamation signed by none other than George Washington. I'm going to read you the introductory paragraph to that Thanksgiving Proclamation. George Washington said, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Holy God, to obey his will, to be grateful to his benefits, for his benefits, and humbly implore his protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed and acknowledged with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. That's what I call the preamble to the Proclamation of Thanksgiving in 1789. So, ladies and gentlemen, as with George Washington basically saying, thank you, God, for giving us a nation, I believe that at this juncture, at this point, at this day and time in the history of America, we need to say thank you, God, for the United States of America.
Amen.
Thank you for giving us a Declaration of Independence. Thank you for giving us a Constitution. Thank you for giving us in that Constitution a Bill of Rights. Thank you that we're not living under a dictatorship, though it might have seemed like it in the past 4 years. Thank you for giving us a freedom that no other nation experiences. Ladies and gentlemen, there are nations today, Islamic jihadist-controlled nations. Recently, a young lady, because part of her hair was coming out from under her head covering, she was persecuted, and publicly put to death because she did not obey the rules and the regulations of the dictators of the Islamic jihadist. We're living in a society today where we have the freedom of worship. We have the freedom to go and to come, yet it is being diminished every day. But we need to thank God that we have it. We need to be thankful for this nation. And as George Washington said in that, the Joint Committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed and acknowledged with grateful hearts.
Amen. Amen.
And favor from Almighty God. I believe that we need to understand that. I believe, Dr. Davis, that somehow, some way, we have a generation or two that's failed to recognize. For example, back less than 100 years ago when I was still in school, we'd have prayer every morning. We would read the Bible every morning. The teacher would assign us scripture memory verses that we'd have to memorize and stand and give verbatim the next morning in the classroom. We would have the prayer, the Bible reading, the scripture memory, and the pledge to the flag. In that era, we had less problems in our schools than we're having today.
Amen.
Because God has been outlawed in the classroom. The Bible's been outlawed in the classroom. The pledge to the flag in many counties and states across America no longer exists. Our kids have been brought up to hate America, to have disdain for our founding fathers, to find America and all of its faults rather than recognizing what we have in the United States of America that only God could have provided for us as no other nation on the face of the globe.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, if we don't teach our kids, the devil will.
That's right.
He's got a lot of stuff that he can throw out there to them that'll capture their attention. And it's simply because believers have fallen down on the job. And this is the reason why I said, I've been saying this for the past couple of weeks, that we now have a new opportunity. We don't need to miss this moment.
That's right.
To get back. In step with God.
Amen.
And put God first. Listen, he's going to be God of all, or he won't be God at all.
Amen.
It's up to you today where you want to place God. Now, I looked up the definition of this word praise,
mm-hmm.
and it comes from our English word appraise.
Right.
That means to place a value upon.
Mm-hmm.
What's he worth to you? Is he worthy to be praised? I'm talking to the believers today. Is he worthy for you to praise him? Has he done enough for you in your life for you to look back and raise your hand to heaven and say, thank you, God?
Amen.
Is he worthy to be praised?
Amen.
So think about that on today, even as we observe Thanksgiving this season. And let me tell you this, we don't have to wait till a special day.
Right.
We don't have to wait till the holiday comes. Every day should be a day of Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
So let's make sure we understand that.
You touch on that, and I'm reminded of 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, not some things, not a few things, not every now and then, but in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Amen. Amen.
It is in everything. I go back to the Thanksgiving proclamation of 1789. With George Washington. The latter portion of that proclamation says, also that we may then unite in most humbly offering of prayers and supplication to the great God, Lord, and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people around the world. That's what we're here for.
Amen.
That's what God has given us America for, is that as America, we might be a blessing to the nations around the globe, that we might have the freedom to promulgate the gospel of Jesus Christ, to evangelize the cities and the nations, and to send missionaries around. What if we didn't have that freedom? We couldn't send missionaries around the world. We couldn't be doing on the radio broadcast as we are even now if we did not have that freedom. So we need to thank God for that. And ladies and gentlemen, I find it antithetical to anything that's called Thanksgiving for a person not to recognize the need to be thankful. In fact, in Philippians 4:6, Dr. Davis, the scripture is very clear. Be careful for nothing. That word careful means to be anxious, worried for nothing. That is, be careful. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried for anything. But in everything, with thanksgiving,
Amen.
Let your requests be made known unto God. Everything that we say, everything that we do, every time we eat, we need to say thank you. I'm thankful for the flag. When I see the beautiful flags flowing, these gigantic flags in particular, on the flagpoles like down at Tools for a time, I'm thankful every time I see that flag. I'm thankful for what it represents and what we have as a nation.
Amen, amen, amen.
Most nations do not have what we have.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, here's another thing, too, and it stirs my heart and mind so much. When I come across people like that that's not thankful, listen, we shouldn't let this election or anything else divide us.
Yes.
Either way we look at it, if we are believers, we are brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
And I should respect your opinion and your choices as well as you respect mine.
Amen.
Yet and still, we should be united through the blood of Jesus Christ. So don't let things like this, it's a trick of the devil to throw things out there to divide us up from one another.
That's right.
Now, here's another thing I told somebody the other day. If you don't like the way things are in this country, if you don't like the results of the election, I'm sorry about that. But then the only suggestion I can give to you, maybe you need to get on a plane, catch a plane and go to another country.
That's right. If you don't like what you got.
If you don't like what's here.
Yeah.
All right. But I guarantee you, after you get over there, you'll be back.
You're ready to come back.
Because they don't have what we have over here.
That's right.
You'll finally find out that it wasn't so bad after all. So listen, learn to appreciate God for what he had done for us.
Amen.
In the United States of America as well, because of his sovereign hand. It's the sovereign hand of God. I'm not talking about the election in general. I'm not talking about President Trump in general. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the sovereign hand of God.
Amen.
God says he's the one that puts them up, and he's the one that takes them down. Mm-hmm. So whoever's supposed to go up, he'll put them up there.
King Nebuchadnezzar.
Whosoever's supposed to come down, he'll take them down. So let's be satisfied with that.
Yeah, you saying that reminds me of King Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 4 and 5 of the book of Daniel. Nebi, as I call him, Nebi was looking around at his kingdom and all that he had done, all that he had built, all that he had created, all of his fame and fortune. And God took him down a notch or two. For 7 years, he crawled around on all fours eating grass as an animal until he recognized God is the only God.
Amen.
And I believe,
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, that unless we're very careful in America, unless we're very, very careful to recognize God and to honor God and to truly be thankful, especially this Thanksgiving season, we need to be thankful, thankful, thankful. I'm thankful for our nation, the land of the free, the home of the brave. There are a lot of faults in it. There are a lot of problems in it. But, ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful that through it all, we can see the Lord Jesus Christ and his hand at work in our nation. In fact, I think about an old song, "Count Your Many Blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done."
Amen.
And
Amen.
As whatever we see, whatever is taking place, whatever God's given us, it is God that has given us America. It's God that, as you said, Dr. Davis, puts kings in place and removes them. It is God that handles the elections. But yet he has given we the people the privilege of having a part,
Amen.
By volitional choice,
Amen.
In who we put over us.
Amen. We didn't do a good job the last few years, but we got a second chance.
That's right. Absolutely.
I certainly believe that.
Absolutely.
Amen.
So, ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is we need to be thankful for our nation, thankful for our flag, thankful for our Bill of Rights, thankful for the hand of God divinely intervening in our nation and giving us Donald J. Trump, thankful for his choices. These people that he's selecting and nominating as cabinet members, they're not perfect. Donald Trump is not perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. The only perfect person that ever came into this world was Jesus Christ, and they crucified him.
Amen.
And yet somehow, someway, the loose likes lost liberals on the left think that some way Trump ought to pick perfect people that are sinless. This is the reason this article is so much of a stench. This man had written and talking about how we're electing pedophiles and sex traffickers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and praising them, putting them in office. Dr. Davis, in our closing moments, turn to Psalms 103. Read the first five verses for us. Psalms 103, the first five verses. I believe it's good Thanksgiving verses that we need to close with for us to inculcate in our hearts and minds and thoughts and recognize what God is saying. Psalms 103, the first five verses.
Amen. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle."
Amen. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. Wishing you and your family a blessed Thanksgiving.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
Praise the Lord,